think of what to draw.
Trying to think of what to draw. Got any ideas?
No.
Okay, so while you're thinking, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. What is a disciple? Just give a brief answer. It doesn't have to be long.
I don't know.
Okay, you don't know. I'm going to tell you a secret. I have a feeling that most people here don't have no either. Oh. Okay. Audrey. What's a disciple?
A person who's dedicated and follows somebody that they trust as a leader.
That was really, really good. Are you a disciple?
You just gave me that.
Depends on who you ask.
You want me to walk away? How many disciples are in here? You better be ready to tell me why. Oh, look at all the hands go down, right? Just because it takes me a minute to get out of this little chair. All right, who's a disciple?
Because I haven't found anything better to follow than Jesus.
Why?
Because of his lifestyle. Because of how he treated people.
You're off the hook for now, because I have to. Am I on? Okay. Anybody else?
I saw all the hands, so I'm going to come to you. So you might as well, yeah. That's smart. Yeah.
Yeah, I think emulating Jesus' life, but also knowing that I can mess up and I'll still be able to try again.
Okay. Really? You're going to make me come to you? Thank you. Well, I don't know. Yeah, okay. Well,
I'm
you know, Jackie did say.
I'm not always a disciple, and I don't believe Jesus always wanted us to be his disciple either. I think he expected us to step out of the mold and be better than what he was teaching us.
Okay, time for our annual meeting. Who else? Okay, let me ask you this. How many of you consider yourselves disciples? How many of you haven't answered yet, consider yourselves disciples? See, what is that?
Well, I always thought disciple meant the student who was learning from the teacher, because the disciples called Jesus Rabbi, and then they turned into apostles. Which was a different story.
Anybody else? Wow. Wow. Okay, good. Phew.
Well, I try my best to be a disciple of Jesus, which I think means following his example and doing what he taught, but you can be a disciple in other areas of your life too. You have a particular teacher, or say a music teacher, and you try and emulate what they do.
So you're broadening disciple to be
right.
A follower of anybody that strikes you in a way.
Yeah, that you respect and think is doing good,
okay.
And you want to follow their example.
All right.
So I am a little frightened to even try to answer this.
Good answer.
But I think of the word disciple and I think of the word discipline. So that makes me think that trying to be a disciple is in some ways about disciplining one's life. And that's all I got.
That's pretty good. So what would you call a perfect disciple?
Not one
For those of you who missed that theology, Mallory shouted, not anybody who's in the Bible. Oh, really? You're going to make me walk all the way down here? I'm not even counting my steps today. Okay. What is the expectation of a disciple?
Faithfulness.
What does that mean? Wait for it. That'll learn you.
I think you need to be faithful in what this person has taught you, and that you will show that to other people and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it.
Okay. Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. Let's get this. Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it.
Share it, share it, share it.
Share it, share it, share it.
Love, love, love.
Love, love, love. What a coincidence that is, because that's our song today. Anybody else?
Dissenting voice. I don't want to be a disciple. I don't want to have to follow. And maybe that's a cultural American thing, but I want to explore a lot of different faiths and be more inclusive. I don't want to have one person that I follow. I want to be better than Jesus was at what he did. And I think that's his expectation.
Is that what it means to be a disciple?
No.
To follow someone who demands that you be better than me?
But I don't want to follow one.
I'm not asking you to follow one. I'm just asking you what a disciple is.
I don't know.
My work here is done. Be right there.
So I know it's a different gospel, but I think there's also something about the world will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Something like that?
Something like that, but that's not what I was looking for, but that's okay.
Wouldn't you call Jesus the perfect disciple?
I don't know. Would you?
I kind of would.
Why?
Following God and what God expected of Jesus.
What did God expect of Jesus?
Everything.
Oh. We call that a cop out, but that's okay.
Succinct.
Succinct, okay. A succinct cop out, okay. What else?
I'd say probably, just guessing again, that it's a person who not only accepts and lives by a particular discipline, but also passes that discipline on to others.
Okay. Okay, so there's the teacher part, the rabbi part. I'm still stuck on the tell, 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 share, share piece before. Tell, 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 share, share. There's one more thing. If you make me walk back here and you don't want this,
accept, accept, accept.
That's really good, but no.
How about
live, live, live.
Getting closer. Who said that? Who said do, do? The non-disciple said do, do, do. Oh, we could go so far, and it's really not appropriate. So, is everybody okay? Okay, good. Okay. It's all good. Somebody back there, is that the recycling? So just to touch on some clarity here, because the interfaith piece here is huge, and we are not necessarily saying that a disciple demands that you follow one. How's that for Christianity? But a disciple does say that if you follow someone, that you are going to follow what they teach and preach and do, because you trust, and I say trust, not believe, that this person is demonstrating the vision and the imagination of God for the world. Amen? Careful. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you know that this is an anniversary, right? This week, where there have been trips to Auschwitz and some of the camps to honor those who died at the hands, well, let's call them non-disciples just for fun. I want to point out that while we hold the number 6 million as critical, right? When we talk about the Jews who died in Auschwitz, the number is actually 11 million. Because people of color, those who are identified as gypsies and wanderers, and those who are identified as queers, were also murdered. Okay? And that's critical to know, that it is broader and bigger than we could have imagined. Now, I bring up Dietrich Bonhoeffer because he was a Lutheran pastor and professor, and he was the first person to stand up against Hitler's call to decimate the Jews. He saw that the Lutheran church was being used to uphold the ideology of the Nazi regime, and he called Hitler and his cronies out. He also participated in a plot to assassinate Hitler, which is a pretty crazy idea if you think about the notion that perhaps disciples are called on not to kill someone else, right? But I'm going to let that sit there, and we're not going to solve that today. We'll deal with that another day. He was found out, he was arrested, and he died 2 weeks before the Allies came in to liberate the camps. He was executed. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is held up as one of those pretty contemporary theologians who really spoke about what it means to be a disciple. And he wrote a book on the cost of discipleship. And when we read stories such as the one we read now, I think we have sort of the picturesque vision, these fishermen catching fish, making a living, hard work, but still they get to be in a boat on the water. And it sounds very romantic that Jesus comes along and says to them, come follow me. But I want you to understand everything that that meant. Whether it's Jesus, whether it's Buddha, whether it's another person or ideology or theology that calls you into relationship with the divine, but we're going to talk about Jesus for right now. This hard work that they were doing was a livelihood. And poor Zebedee was counting on his sons to be his retirement plan, right? And so these four people come across this person out of the blue who tells them to drop everything that they're doing. Their livelihood, their security, taking care of their family, making sure their father would have something in his retirement. And just for fun, because they are also responsible for giving a portion of what they caught towards taxes, they were putting that part of their lives at risk too, because they would not be able to fulfill that obligation. I always wondered, well, you're going to have to eat. Don't you want to take a net or a pole with you just in case you have to eat later on? It seems like, why would you abandon everything and walk away with someone that you've never met? And yet, I want you to understand the depth and breadth of what they were doing when they walked away. Here's the other thing you need to know. By the time Matthew is written to the audience that is hearing this, everybody knows the end of the story. Everybody who's hearing about Jesus already knows what the outcome was and what happened to Jesus. In fact, by the time Matthew is writing, they also know what happened to all those quote-unquote original disciples. Do you know what happened? They're all dead. And so they are still hearing in this scripture a call to follow, to leave everything else behind and follow, even though they know the end of the story. So it's bigger than just leaving your nets and your poles and your boats, right? There's a lot at risk here. Bonhoeffer has these amazing quotes. When Christ calls, and it's sexist language, so forgive me, but he says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. When Christ calls you, he bids you come and die. Salvation is free, and he coined the term cheap grace, but discipleship will cost you your life. Being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will. You're here, so you're busted. Because somewhere in the scheme of things, you answered a call. Whether it be scripture, or the Bhagavad Gita, or Buddhist, or Hindu, or Celtic spirituality, or something that you read in a text, something called you to this place on this day. And I'm guessing it's not because you wanted to die. But I am guessing it was about something greater than yourselves, whether you can define it or not. I'm guessing it was a longing somewhere deep inside that said, you know what, I just feel compelled to do this. The nice thing about the United Church of Christ is that we've kind of taken guilt out of the picture. So no longer do you feel obligated to come to church because you're not going to hell because we don't believe in hell. But anyway, really nothing. But the bottom line is, something brought you here. You are looking for something greater than yourselves. And the messages that we're getting is the thing that you are seeking may cost you your life. And that's what makes you a good disciple. So what are you going to do with that? We have in our 21st century intellectual theology, we like the notion of taking it, that sort of thing, and well, Claire, he's really talking spiritual death. He's not really talking dead. Dead to your sins, or dead to your way of life, or dead to, I don't know, spending $5 on coffee every day, or dead to, you name it, right? Jackie, I think you said drinking too much. But I'm here for you. We'll talk. But dead to something, and we tend to intellectualize it, right? Because we don't really want to think that the call to discipleship in the 21st century could really mean, like, dead, right? Because then probably we're not going to come back to church. To be clear, we are not talking about martyrdom for the sake of martyrdom. We are not talking about freely throwing yourself in front of the lions so that you're noticed or that you receive eternal life. What we're talking about is that the cost of discipleship demands that we put aside everything when it gets in the way of us being, when it gets in the way of us laying down our lives for another. That could be literally, that could be standing up to the person who is on the bus who's making fun of a Muslim woman because of her headgear. It could be calling somebody else who's making fun of someone because they're queer, or making fun of somebody because they are a person of color. And it means that you stand up and you put yourself at risk in the name of justice. It could mean that you do give up that $5 coffee and you give it to someone else who needs it. It could be that you do put aside the fact that you have two or three houses here, there, and another place, and you don't need that much, but somebody else might. There are lots of ways we are called to die. And the paradox of Scripture is saying that the only way you can truly know what it means to be living into the will of God and into the vision of God is to say yes to the possibility that that might happen. But you knew that already, right? Because you also know the end of the story. You know how this story ends. Don't you? Maybe not. Let the people say, Amen.